Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now. It's live on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, the day following the opening weekend of Madness. The first 4 days of the 2024 men's NCAA tournament now in the books. Those first two rounds have come to a close. The Sweet 16 on the horizon on Thursday, a few days off from the big dance. So on this Monday morning, DRS, a full recap and review of everything that we saw over this weekend in the round of 32. The 16 teams advancing to the second weekend and an early look at those Sweet 16 lines as the NCAA tournament has 3 days off and continues on a Thursday.
The Sweet 16 should be absolutely tremendous along with the Elite Eight. Why? Because the top seeds are moving forward. Upsets are a lot of fun to watch, but then we realize those upsets mean lesser teams moving forward. We didn't really get that all that much. Now, I did lose one of my Final Four teams in my bracket with Baylor, but I also lost one of my future bets in St. Mary's, which was the longest shot, but the other three still moving on to the round of the Sweet 16, and I can't wait to watch it play out. We have an awesome week of basketball upcoming.
I've lost future bets. My bracket has already been busted time and again. It wasn't the greatest betting opening weekend for Treboy, but we bounced back into the second weekend and, of course, the Sweet 16. So as we get going here in this opening hour on the early line, we will look back on everything that we had seen from the Saturday round of 32 action and, of course, into a Sunday as well. Before we do that, we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number one of the early line on this first day of a new week. It's a Monday right here on TEL. Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. It seemed like, DRS, for most of the round of 32, things were going chalk. The 11 first games, the favorites had won all 11. They were 8-3 against the spread. Then we saw some underdogs start to pull off some outright upsets, but we really hadn't seen any madness. That was until the end of the Texas A&M and Houston game last night in Memphis. Houston was up by 11 points with a minute and a half remaining. And then A&M went on a crazy rally to tie the game in regulation and send it to overtime. But in OT, despite losing Jamal Shedd, Emmanuel Sharp, LJ Cryer, four players fouled out for the Cougs, they find their way to a victory. Houston survives and advances, as is always the key at this time of year, with a victory yesterday over A&M in OT, 195. The Aggies do cover as a pregame 8.5-point underdog. That total goes way over with 195 combined points in the extra session.
It's funny watching that game all the way through, like keeping tabs on it before I went to bed. You know, Houston had a great lead here, and waking up to see that they had to actually go to overtime and win that game by 5 points, that was a sweat I'm glad I actually didn't watch, because my biggest futures ticket is on the Houston Cougars. And by the way, every single day at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben, there's that 25% boost. And every day I just keep betting more and more on the Houston Cougars with that boost here. So that's the way I'm figuring out. So thank goodness they advance. And I'm glad I actually didn't stay up to watch that sweat. I didn't need that in my life.
Yeah, DRS, I'm happy for you as well. It was 82-71 with a minute and 30 seconds left. And then A&M scored 16 points in those final 90 seconds to send it into overtime. Anderson Garcia did do that for A&M. It was a wonderful inbounds play from Buzz Williams and the Aggies. They end their year going over in seven straight, reinventing their offense. So Houston, the one seed in the South region, on to the Sweet 16. The Cougs have reached the round of 16 for four straight seasons. Now make that five straight trips to the NCAA tournament. Connecticut, the reigning national champs, back into the second weekend as well. A big victory yesterday over a shorthanded Northwestern team. UConn's eight wins in the NCAA tournament over the past 2 years by at least 13 points, with an average margin of victory at 20 as they blow out Northwestern 75-58. UConn covers as a 13.5 point favorite.
Scariest part about this game is not how good UConn is, not how good UConn was in the first half at 40-18. It's been they shot 13% from three-point range and still smashed Northwestern. That means when they're not even bringing close to their A game, they can still crush you down low on the boards, play great defense, and really move on. 75-58. That wasn't even the total. It felt like that game was 100-58 by the way it got through there. UConn looks like a dominant one seed, and they put that on display this weekend.
Connecticut into the Sweet 16 as the one seed in the East region. We keep it rolling around those one seeds yesterday. Purdue absolutely hammering Utah State, the fifth largest margin of victory ever in the round of 32, as the Boilermakers win by 39. 106-67 against Utah State. The Boilermakers easily cover as a pregame 11.5 point favorite.
You take a look at that game from Utah State, hung on for that first 10 minutes, but the fouls started to add up and the Purdue Boilermakers went away in spades. 57 points in that second half for Purdue, almost a 50 spot in that first half. This might have been the best Purdue basketball we've seen in decades there, show up against Utah State. Let's see what they got in the Sweet 16, because now the pressure, quote unquote, Ben, is supposed to be off.
106 points for the Boilermakers. Five teams in the first 4 days of the men's NCAA tournament scoring at least 100. Duke, by the way, absolutely routing James Madison, ending the Cinderella run for JMU rather quickly in Brooklyn this weekend. 93-55. Purdue won by 39. Duke won by 38. The Blue Devils cover as a 6.5 point favorite.
Shout out the ACC. After Virginia got dropped on its head in that first four, they've been unbelievably impressive. And also for a Duke team to hammer James Madison, which was those up-and-coming programs that you wanted to watch out for with the legitimate chance for an upset, Duke put them away right away. And these teams are showing that MO now in the first half. 47-25. It was a wrap quickly here. Duke was firing from three-point range here, Ben.
They were against the second-best three-point shooting defense in the country in JMU. Jared McCain, eight triples, 30 points for Duke men's basketball. Duke women's basketball, as the seventh seed in Portland Region 3 pulls off the upset over the two-seed Ohio State, 75-63. We roll into the NCAA women's tournament. LSU was down big against Middle Tennessee in the round of 32, but the reigning national champs, the Bayou Bengals, prevail. They blow out Middle Tennessee in the second half to advance into the second weekend.
Yeah, here's an interesting part about LSU. They feel like Duke men's basketball, because if you're an LSU fan, you love them, but the majority of the country is not even from, you know, the boot down there rooting against them. We need those villains here. We got to keep them around as long as possible till they match up against Iowa. It's going to be awesome to watch it play out.
LSU was down by four at the break. They rally and win by 27 points. More women's basketball action as well. We'll detail for you here, but a great game between Stanford and Iowa State last night. The Cardinals survive against the Cyclones in OT. Plenty more around the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And then there were only 16 at the 2024 Men's NCAA Tournament. We welcome you back to this Monday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We look back on the round of 32, both Saturday and Sunday, to tell you how we got to the Sweet 16 in weekend number two at the Big Dance. That starts on Thursday, a few days off to reset, to look at what we have seen, and of course forecast what is still to come in the NCAA tournament. So here is the bracket as of this moment. We can go through the 16 teams if we want. If we can show the bracket for where things stand at the NCAA tournament, there it is. All of the one seeds on to the second weekend. All of the two seeds on to the second weekend as well. Donnie, let's start with the chalk at the top. This is the first time since 2019, just the fifth time since the field expanded in 1985, that all eight number one and number two seeds have reached the Sweet 16.
And it's fantastic for basketball. This is what you want. The best teams advancing, the best teams playing each other with centerpiece games that start to flow. Because in the first two rounds, right, field of 64, then down to 32, you have multiple games on. And when I mean multiple, three and four games on at a time. Now it starts to settle in where you can get that clicker out. Go to commercial break, check the other game out live. Or if you have multiple TVs, you got them both on here. But I love the fact some people love the Cinderella upsets, and I love them too. They're fun to watch in the moment, as I say, until they have to play next. Go, oh man, UConn was going to have a banger this round. Ooh, Houston was going to have a monster matchup. Now they're going to face a 8 or 9 or let's just say a 12 or 13 seed at this point. I love the fact that the big seeds advance here because it makes more compelling TV for the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8. I loved what happened this weekend overall.
The cumulative total of the seeds remaining into the round of 16 is 54. You add up everything, it is 54. It is the fifth lowest number we have seen from that sum into the Sweet 16 in the history of the NCAA tournament. We only have two seeds that are higher or lower, I should say, than a five. That would be the sixth seed in the West region, Clemson, and the only double-digit seed onto the second weekend. Make that 12 times in the last 13 years. We have seen at least one double-digit seed into the Sweet 16. That might be the hottest team in basketball at the moment, NC State, the 11th seed, of course, in the South region and the champions of the ACC tournament. But we start with the East region bracket. What we all thought, Donnie, a week ago at this moment, following the bracket being released on Selection Sunday, would be the gauntlet, the portion of the bracket that would have the most difficult path to a Final Four in Phoenix. And it is still really, really good. On Thursday night in Boston, it'll be the reigning national champs, Connecticut, against the national runner-ups from a year ago. A national championship rematch between UConn and San Diego State. Elsewhere in the East region, the top two seeds on the bottom portion of that bracket, Iowa State advancing to the round of 16. They will take on Illinois. The Cyclones, the best defense in the country. The Illini, the best offense in the country. They face off in the Sweet 16 as well.
Should be a great one here. And again, UConn specifically picking that Northeast region for that home court advantage. They're going to have that once again. San Diego State, you can't be as far away from home court advantage than what San Diego State is going to face going up against UConn. Now, also, Ben, that game's going to start around 7 o'clock, which is fantastic. UConn fans should be really excited by that. But if you are in the building for the doubleheader, which again, you don't buy two separate tickets, it's for one day pass. That second game with Iowa State and Illinois is going to start well after 10 o'clock on a Thursday. Or is that, I believe it's Thursday night. Is that Thursday night or Friday night that game? Thursday night on that game. So
Thursday
you're going to be playing
Thursday
well
night,
into well into midnight plus after that. Ridiculous by the NCAA. And by the way, I hate to get on a rant here. I thought it was about ratings here. Like last night, for me, I love college basketball. Watch it all the way through. Games are tipping off well past 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. What are we doing, man? Stack a game at 12, at 2, at 4, at 6, at 8. What the hell were we doing yesterday on a Sunday and also on Thursday night? Ridiculous that these games are going to start that late in a national tournament. Would the NBA Finals ever put a game on at 10:30? No, they wouldn't.
No. There should be an hour of separation. I completely agree. Let's tip off the first game at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. You know what's so funny about how Thursday night at the Sweet 16 will work? The East Region tip times are actually later than the West Region tip times, which are out in Los Angeles, taking in that Pacific time zone. So I've heard from our producers in the back, we're not going to go region by region. We're going to go at the recaps and use those as graphic cover just a little bit later on. So let's look back on what we saw the round of 32. Sunday, Houston and Texas A&M. Then we'll dive through the bracket into our second hour. As we said, DRS, to open up the show, what a wild game it was. Walking in Memphis last night in a day that really did not feature a ton of madness or thrills. Really a round of 32 weekend that did not. This game in Memphis absolutely delivered. Houston and A&M. Houston up by 11 with 90 seconds left in regulation. It was 82-71. A&M then scored 15 points in the final minute and a half, led by Anderson Garcia at the end. The buzzer beater, they were down by three. It sended it into OT at 86 apiece. But it was Houston that prevailed in the end, including Ryan Elvin, DRS, the fourth-year walk-on, onto the floor because four players fouled out for Houston, and somehow, some way, the Cougs prevail. It was Elvin going one of two from the charity stripe to extend the lead for Houston, sealing the victory. The Cougs win by five, 195 in overtime. A&M, however, does end their season with a cover as an 8.5-point dog.
And that's what matters the most, 195 total points. I finally got cooled off a little bit yesterday, hit my first parlay out, and also hit a FanDuel odds boost, and then came into this game, and I needed two guys to make 2 3-point shots or more, and I got that. It was Sharp who made seven of them, Cryer made three, so they combined for 10 made 3-point shots, but the late-night game there, I sort of lost a little bit of my grip on that one, ending up a same-game parlay that went down. But I love this, Ben, because you take a look at Houston, and you have a couple different pathways, right? Connecticut blowing teams away here, not facing any adversity. Purdue blowing teams away, not facing any adversity at this point. Houston looks like they faced that adversity and escaped. Sometimes I like that a little bit. Unbelievable here for Houston to hang on with all that foul trouble into overtime here. That's just a sign of a great team here. And again, I love the adversity moving forward. You escaped one here. Don't let it happen again.
It was crazy because Houston is now just the second team in the history of the men's NCAA tournament to have four players foul out and to still win a basketball game. A&M reinvented their offense at the end of the season. I thought Houston's defense would maybe win the game for them. No, Wade Taylor and Tyrese Radford going off yesterday, combining for 48 points. The Aggies end the year going over in seven consecutive games. So as we keep it going around the round of 32 Sunday at the 2024 Men's NCAA Tournament, our next recap for you, James Madison and Duke. The first game in Brooklyn yesterday. The line actually worked against the Blue Devils by the time we got the tip inside the Barclays Center. 7.5 overnight, quickly became 6.5 because many people thought the Dukes against Duke would maybe limit what they did from three. No, because we saw a big game out of Jared McCain. 8 triples, 30 points. Duke wins by 38, cruising to a 93-55 victory. The Blue Devils cover as a 6.5-point favorite.
Playing your best basketball at the end of the season is what matches up and how you move forward in this March Madness tournament. But also, Proctor McCain combining here, Ben, for 12 3-point shots made. And that included 50% overall as a team for the Duke Blue Devils. They were perfect that game. And as we said, smoked them in the first half, 47-25. An easy victory by the Blue Devils as they move forward. Shout out the ACC. I didn't see it coming. I got to give some respect right now, Ben.
The ACC, a perfect 8-0 in the rounds of 32 and 64. Virginia was the fifth team out of the ACC into the big dance. Of course, the Cavaliers losing in a bad way, only scoring 42 points in Dayton in the first four. But the ACC outside of that, perfect, undefeated, as we will detail for you in the rest of this opening hour. We look back on the opening weekend of the 2024 Big Dance and set the stage for the Sweet 16. We do that up next on the other side of the break, live right here on this Monday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
8 games apiece over the span of the last 2 days on both Saturday and Sunday at the round of 32 of the 2024 men's NCAA tournament. We detail and recap everything for you here in this opening hour of the opening day of a new week. It's a Monday on the early line. Let's go to the first game up on Sunday in the round of 64. It was the 2-10 matchup in the South region. Marquette on the 2 line taking on Colorado. What a game it was for the Buffs on Friday in the round of 64. 102-100 against Florida. It was KJ Simpson rattling home a game winner. And we saw some pace yesterday against the Golden Eagles as well. But Marquette holds on at the end under the steady veteran presence of their point guard, who was back from injury, Tyler Kolek. He has been back for both of the first 2 games for Marquette in the NCAA tournament. He has totaled 22 assists in those 2 games, and Marquette holds on for a 4-point win, 81-77 over the Buffs. Marquette did close as a pregame 4.5-point favorite, but they advance into the Sweet 16 for the first time in more than a decade since 2013.
Yeah, 33 points by the Colorado Buffaloes. That's really how you attack Marquette. I hit a parlay in this game as well, taking a look at Simpson with making at least 2 3-point shots. He made 4 of them. Same thing with De Silva, 3 of 7. He only needed to make 2. And also paired it up with Jones for Marquette to make 15 or more points. He got 18 yesterday. But I'm impressed by Marquette. And Ben, this is what we've talked about pre-flop in the tournament. We knew Marquette was going to be awesome if Kolek was going to be 100%. Yeah. Looks like he's 100%, so congratulations if you took a futures wager pending that. Not saying you're going to win the wager, Ben, but the worst-case scenario was, hey, look, I really like Marquette, and I think Kolek's going to be great, and he plays 15 points a game and clearly isn't himself. He looks like he's all the way back, so watch out for Marquette. Held off a strong Colorado Buffaloes team to get that victory, and you're right. That nice move late in the game, dribbling around the baseline, circling in, little short, little jump hook about 5 feet from the basket. Sensational stuff by Kolek. Great win by Marquette, but even better news is that Kolek looks like he's all the way back.
I bet Marquette when it was tied at 74 all, just about 2 minutes left. It was pretty close on the money line. I had a profit boost on the lovely FanDuel Sportsbook and made that juice not nearly as bad in the idea that Tyler Kolek and Cam Jones and Oso Iguodaro for Marquette would be steady enough to hold it down. And sure enough, that was the case. 21 points, 11 dimes, 5 rebounds for Tyler Kolek. He is one of 3 players in NCAA tournament history to have 15-plus points, 10-plus assists, 5-plus rebounds in an NCAA tournament in multiple games, and he has done it in the first 2 games of the big dance for the Golden Eagles. He missed the final 6 games of the year for Marquette, including the Big East tournament in New York City. But now that he is back, Marquette is rolling, and they have won 16 of their last 20 games. They have covered in 15 of those 16 wins. The only one they did not, yesterday by the hook, they laid 4.5. So after the Marquette game, Purdue and Duke absolutely hammer Utah State and James Madison respectively. We saw 11 favorites in the first 11 games of the round of 32 all win. And those favorites, DRS, were 8-3 against the spread. We were waiting on an underdog, even a cover a margin more frequently, or to win outright, and we finally got that in our next game in the round of 32 on Sunday, the first game in Memphis. It was the 3-6 matchup in the West region, where the 3 seed is now out, and the ACC prevails with their 6 seed in that portion of the bracket, Clemson. The Tigers win outright against the Baylor Bears as a 4.5-point pregame underdog. Final score, 72-64. Baylor, one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country, not yesterday. They were not good from the free throw line either, and Clemson holds on, 72-64 again. Brad Brownell's Tigers win outright as a 4.5-point pregame underdog.
Surprised by this one. I had high hopes for Baylor. There's one of those, you know, non-1 or 2 seeds to try to advance into a Final Four. Weren't able to get it done. And by the way, Clemson was the better team all the way through. But as we take a look about collapses late, Baylor came on strong at the end and had a chance shooting double bonus 2 free throws. 2 points late and bricked both of those free throws from an 80% free throw shooter. Tough scene for the Baylor Bears, but Clemson holds on and moves on. And again, shout out the ACC, but that was one of those where I would have loved to have seen a comeback where it looks like Clemson was the clear winner all the way through for Baylor to steal that game. Yeah. Weren't able to do it, but credit Clemson for hanging on there. So Baylor, one of my final four teams in the bracket. Didn't have a future on them, but I got there in the bracket. They're down already, but a good performance by Clemson on defense.
Big day out of Chase Hunter. He had 20 points to lead it for Clemson, but Donnie's right. It was really the defense. 136 total points between those two teams. Stayed well under a pregame total around 145 and a half. Jacoby Walter is the guy that DRS was mentioning. Baylor made a furious comeback in the final 3 minutes after a missed shot in Jacoby Walter, or actually after a turnover, Jacoby Walter tracked down. He was fouled by PJ Hall, Clemson's best player. It fouled Hall out of the game, and Baylor was already in the double bonus. Jacoby Walter walked to the charity stripe, an 82% free throw shooter this year, and clanked both. He was 5 of 11 from the free throw line. Baylor was 16 of 26 as a team, and the Baylor Bears, again, the third best three-point shooting team in the country, averaging nearly 40% from beyond the arc this year, 6 of 24 in its biggest game of the year, but one of its worst offensive performances of the season as well. Clemson advances into the Sweet 16. We'll talk more about the ACC in just a little bit. The most chaotic game of the day, DRS, was wild. It seemed like every time Alabama or Grand Canyon touched the basketball, somebody was flying on the floor, and nobody had any idea what to do with that basketball as well. Ultimately, Alabama prevails 72-61. One of my only good caps of yesterday was thinking the pace would be nowhere close to what we saw between Alabama and Charleston in the round of 64 Friday. Total closed at 172.5. 72-61 stays well under. However, the Crimson Tide do cover as a pregame 5.5-point favorite.
Yeah, you're not going to win very many basketball games, and that was certainly a foul fest. 37 free throws shot by Grand Canyon. Yeah. But how about this? Only 32% from the floor, Ben, 62% from the free throw line, and 10% from three-point range. Oh. This was half of an odds boost on Sunday from the FanDuel Sportsbook that needed Alabama to win their basketball game and then Houston to win their basketball game, which both of them did cash, but it was real hairy late in both of those games as they set up. But that was a nice finish for Alabama and a Grand Canyon team that if they – I don't want to say it's – look, they're leveling up in competition, playing a very talented team in Alabama. But if you just could have said before the game that, hey, Grand Canyon's going to bring their average game into this one, they probably beat Alabama. They just brought their D game into this one and ended up getting beat by 11 points when, quite frankly, Alabama didn't play all that well either. It's a shame that Grand Canyon, they could have been one of those Cinderella teams that move forward, and a lot of the country would have started to open their eyes on that team here. But Alabama gets the victory and moves forward as the higher-seeded team.
It is really interesting, DRS, when you look at what a 29-win team pre-tournament does. They end with 30 wins this year, does GCU, after pulling the upset against St. Mary's and look very composed down the stretch against the Gales. Did not look composed and, in fact, rather confounded at the end of that basketball game. 2 of 20 from deep, 23 of 37 from the free throw line. In a game they lost by 11. A couple of those buckets go down, and it's not nearly as sporadic. Maybe Grand Canyon stays in it. But Alabama advances to the Sweet 16 for a second consecutive season. Same story for San Diego State. Some of those teams that pulled off the stunners on Friday in the round of 64 ran out of gas on Sunday in the round of 32. Yale knocked out one of my Final Four teams, and a national championship ticket I had on Auburn in the round of 64 Friday, but Yale didn't quite have it against San Diego State on Sunday night. The Aztecs, the reigning national runner-ups, caught fire from three early and never looked back. SDSU wins 85-57, nearly a 30-point margin. San Diego State easily covers as a 5.5-point favorite.
You just take a look at the bottom line in this game for San Diego State. Usually their calling card is defense, which, again, they held Yale to 57 points. But on offense, topping 85 wide, shooting 53% as a team, which included 48% from three-point range and from volume, 13 of 27, and then got to the free throw line 17 times and converted 14 of those, shooting 82% as a team. Good win for San Diego State, and on deck, they're going to have to bring that same intensity on defense, that same three-point shooting to the ballpark here to see if they can win up in Boston.
A rematch of last year's national championship game between UConn and San Diego State. It's the second game of the day on Thursday evening in the Sweet 16. Total was 128.5 last night between Yale and San Diego State. Closer to 130 in a hook in most spots. It does go over. Jaden Ledee, an All-American this year, 26 points to pace the Aztecs. Now we go back to Saturday to look at what we saw in the round of 32. DRS, you and I were together Saturday night in New Jersey, breaking everything down on Bracket Central alongside Joe Lisi. Lisi and I were both on the Spartans, expecting a closer game than what we saw. You were wearing the Carolina Blue of North Carolina, the number one seed in the West region, and you were spot on. UNC, a huge second half, 85-69, the victory for the Tar Heels. They are back into the Sweet 16. North Carolina covers as a 3.5-point pregame favorite.
You knew R.J. Davis would play well. You're hoping Cormac Ryan made a couple three-point shots, but nobody expected Ingram to go 5 of 7 from three-point range, scoring 17 points and tipping in. They're having 7 rebounds as well. North Carolina was really good in this game. I wouldn't say start to finish because Michigan State had that early lead, but when you're taking a look at that second half and the end of the first half, Carolina really turned it on here. Once again, the theme for me this morning, shout out the ACC, bringing their A game across the board when that's a conference I wasn't even looking at for futures, Ben.
We will finish our conversation about the ACC, who many thought had a down year in what is the premier league, at least historically, in college basketball. But the ACC has sent at least one team to the Sweet 16 every year since 1985. They've got 4 this year. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, it's the opening hour of the opening day of a new week on a Monday, looking back on the opening weekend of the 2024 men's NCAA tournament. What a couple of matchups we had early on the round of 32 Saturday. Blue blood battles on paper, regardless of how you define what that term is in college hoops. We just told you North Carolina prevails. They were down by 12 early in the opening half against Michigan State. UNC wins by 16 and easily covers as a 3.5-point favorite. Gonzaga was down by 1 at the break in the 4-5 matchup in the Midwest region against Kansas, two of the winningest programs we have seen in the history of college basketball in the last 10-15 years. But then Gonzaga turned it on in the second half. Donnie, we were watching this game live together. It seemed like Mark Few's Bulldogs could not miss, and Kansas really just ran out of gas, of course, shorthanded in the big dance without Kevin McCullough Jr. Gonzaga wins by 21 over KU. They were a pregame 3.5-point favorite, and Gonzaga 89-68, the victory for the Zags. They have reached the Sweet 16, now 9 consecutive trips to the big dance.
Yeah, you take a look at that game overall, and obviously you're down some starters for Kansas, but Dickinson started that game off, Ben, tremendous. You know, he only finishes up with 15 points, and that really was a microcosm of that second half, because if you're playing at elevation, you're saying, all right, we have a little bit of a shortened bench here for Kansas, and it looked like Gonzaga used that to their favorite in the second half, winning that 46-24 overall, but it was a runaway. Like, Gonzaga couldn't miss, it felt like, for the entire second half, no matter what Kansas was going to do. They would have to shot the lights out from the free throw line, the three-point line, and also from the field. They weren't able to do that. And quite frankly, a lot of people thought Kansas probably could have gotten knocked out in round number one. They didn't. They advanced to round number two, but we talked about it on set on Saturday. I don't think too many people are like, you know what? Now's the time to buy into Kansas. I can run to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, or even the Final Four. I think most of us were thinking if Kansas got through game number one, which I actually had them in my pool to do, in game number two, they would meet their maker, and they did. Gonzaga was tremendous in that second half. And that team now, for a 5-seeded Gonzaga Bulldogs, that I don't know if everybody outside of Spokane, Washington expected them to do much here, but it looks like they're on point right now, and they could do some big things coming up this weekend, Ben.
Listen, the Zags did not have a lot of pressure entering this big dance. In fact, Gonzaga was 11-5 in the middle of January after a rare regular season WCC loss against Santa Clara. There was a thought at that time, would Gonzaga even be in consideration for an at-large bid? Of course, they did take that. And then they were going to get picked off in the opening round by McNeese. Nope. Won that game by 21. Gonzaga has not lost in the round of 64 since 2008. Oh, maybe Kansas, even shorthanded, getting stretched by Samford, would find their footing. Market buyback on the Jayhawks. Gonzaga says nope. Wins by 21. Covers as a 3.5-point pregame favorite. And Gonzaga has now reached the Sweet 16 for 9 consecutive seasons. There are 7 programs around the country that have reached the Sweet 16 with an active streak of multiple years. That's 2+. Only 2 have been there 5 or more seasons. That's Houston and Gonzaga. And Gonzaga's done it 9 times in a row. Sure, they haven't reached the pinnacle. They haven't won a national championship yet. But as consistently successful as you will find in the NCAA tournament. What a game it was, DRS, in the 11-14 matchup in the South Region. NC State, the 11 seed, who had won 6 consecutive games, 5 in the ACC tournament. Opening round game, throttling Texas Tech against America's Sweethearts on Saturday. Jack Golke and the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. Game goes to overtime. It was an absolute battle, but in OT, NC State pulls away. They win 79-73. They were a pregame 6.5-point favorite, so Oakland does cover by the hook. Total of 146.5. does go over, and despite 6 threes from Jack Golke and a huge game on the other side as well from Trey Townsend, it is NC State that prevails as DJ Burns posts his 2nd double-double of the year. The big man for NC State has the pack into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, the shame of it is we love storylines, Ben, in NCAA March Madness, yeah. Right? And the reason why we wanted Indiana State, it wasn't so much that we thought they could make a run to the Final Four, but the storyline was the big man, Avila. It would have been so much fun to watch him play out, the memes going, also the nicknames that he has. But Jack Golke comes into our lives, who most people aren't watching a lot of Oakland basketball in the regular season. But once you got to the tournament here, we saw something impressive, 10 of 20 from three-point range, saying, how can he back that up? And we were on set on Saturday night saying, you know what? As we end the show, he's got 3 at the half. No doubt he's coming out in the second half firing, which he did, and made 3 more three-point shots, which to get 6 of them was, I believe, a 2-to-1 price here from the make 6, which we hit that one on Saturday night. But it's a shame that they lost this game. For me, look, NC State, look, I'm sorry I wasn't familiar with your game before the ACC tournament as you ripped through their 5 wins in 5 nights, and now you get into March Madness and they continue to win. But it just felt like if you had one of those underdogs, give us a storyline, because you're telling me right now if the Sweet 16 showed up and Oakland played either on Thursday or Friday night, Golke wasn't shooting another 23-point shots. We could bet on that and watch the funness of it. It's a shame their run came a little bit short, but once again, credit the ACC, an 11-seed NC State Wolfpack who never should have been in the tournament, saying, oh yeah, you thought we shouldn't be in here? Look at this run we're about to go on, and who's going to stop this hot streak right now? Maybe it comes to an end in the Sweet 16, but good for the Pack even getting there.
The Wolfpack ended the year 17-14. They dropped 7 of their final 9 games. They ended the regular season on a 4-game skid. They played on the opening day in D.C. in the ACC tournament and were down against Louisville in the opening half. The Cardinals, the worst team in the ACC. But they have figured something out here under Kevin Keats, and they are playing great basketball. All 5 starters for NC State scoring in double figures. DJ Horn got off to a great start and then went super cold into overtime and picked things up again. It will be NC State and Marquette in the South Region in the Sweet 16 on Friday evening. What a game it was, from overtime in Pittsburgh in the first game of the night to double OT between Creighton and Oregon. Oregon's head coach, Dana Altman, who has been in Eugene for 14 seasons, spent the 16 years prior to that stint in Creighton at the helm of the Blue Jays basketball program. That was one of the storylines. CU trying to get back to a Sweet 16 for the 2nd consecutive year and the 3rd time in the last 4, after they only made the Sweet 16 a few times in the 25 years prior to that. And Creighton, in double overtime, finds their offensive game to hold off Oregon, 86-73. A quick shout-out here to Jermaine Cousinard and Infali Dante for Oregon. They combined for 60 of 73 points for the Ducks. They scored all but 2 points for Oregon in the second half and into that first overtime. Just ran out of gas in that second extra session as Creighton wins by 13, 86-73. DRS and I had the over of 145.5.
Yep.
Never a doubt.
That's one for the good guys right there. And also for me, one of my futures tickets here, who I have three left out of four, was on Creighton. Would have hated to see them go down. And also, quite frankly, my favorite future, as we already talked about, in Houston, they went to overtime and survived. So a little bit of good breaks there moving forward. But yes, Dante, I mean, you have a center that goes for 28-20 and you lose that basketball game, which is incredible. Calk Brennan was very good on the opposite side as Creighton's big man as well. But Creighton moves on and survives this one. And once again, I don't know how to use this, but typically I like to see a team that gets stressed and goes to environments you don't want to be in, which means loser goes home in double overtime, where these games, it looked like Oregon had this game wrapped up, and then Creighton had this game wrapped up, and then you find yourself in double overtime. Great overall performance, but you're right about that. This game had no business going over the total. When you stack on an extra 35 points in extras, that helps and goes a long way as we cashed in that total also.
Yes, we certainly did. What a matchup it is going to be in the round of 16 in the Midwest region. Creighton, the 3 seed, they're on to the Sweet 16. Tennessee reaches the Sweet 16 for a second consecutive year as well. But it wasn't easy. It seemed like it was going to be. The Volunteers, one of the 5 best defenses in the country. And Texas played Colorado State, who played Virginia in the first 4. They played the Rams in the round of 64. And it seems as though that contagious first half offense carries over if you play a team that once played Virginia. We'll see if it works for Tennessee in the Sweet 16 against Creighton. But Texas only scored 19 points in the first half. Tennessee was up by 9, DRS, under 4.5 minutes remaining in regulation. Texas made it a game down the stretch, but the Volunteers do hold on 62-58. Texas does cover as a 6.5 point underdog, but Tennessee on to the round of 16 and that second weekend for a second straight year.
Yeah, Texas lost this game. Texas shot 36%. Tennessee shot 33% as a team. Texas shot 30% from three-point range. You take a look at Tennessee, 12% from three-point range. Texas shot 91% from the free throw line. Tennessee shot 83% and still won. These are the games that I love to look forward to because it's such a teaching point from your head coach to your team to say, look, even though we didn't bring our A game, we still won in advance. So let's keep in mind, eventually our offense is going to come around, and if we continue to play defense like we know we can play, we might be able to advance into a Final Four. I don't mind this. Ugly victories sometimes propel some of these teams, and when you lose every statistical category and still come away with the victory in March Madness, you'll take that every time. We'll see what the boys down in Knoxville have in the next round.
It's going to be a great matchup again in the Sweet 16. You've got Baylor Shireman and Creighton on one side, Dalton Connect and Tennessee on the other. That will be a great matchup in the Sweet 16 on, I believe it's in the Midwest region, so that game is on Friday evening. First game of the round of 32 on Saturday, Arizona and Dayton. It was the 2-7 matchup in the West region. Dayton loves to have a little bit of dramatic comeback thrill. They kept it interesting against the Wildcats, but ultimately Arizona does win by double digits, 78-68. They cover as an 8.5 point favorite. A total of 149.5 pregame does stay under.
Yeah, spread drama in that one all the way through, particularly at the end of the game. But Arizona, usually against teams like the Dayton Flyers, we could just be better athletes than you are, and that's what happened here. Let's see moving forward. But I love this. Again, we're reviewing all of these scores from the weekend and a lot of high seeds and a lot of great talent advancing, which is going to make for some compelling TV coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week, Ben.
It will be really interesting to see how Clemson performs if they can keep the run going as an underdog against Arizona. 2-7 matchup in the East region was also on Saturday. It was Iowa State and Washington State. DRS, it was a very, very slow start in Omaha against the best defense in the country. That is Iowa State against Wazoo on the other side. Two teams that play with not the fastest pace in the world, and it stayed low scoring. A game that closed with a total at 128.5 does stay under, but the Cyclones prevail 67-56 over the Cougars, and Iowa State does cover as a 6.5 point favorite as well.
Yeah, my final look at one of those final three teams for me still left in the tournament with futures is on Iowa State. And granted, if they have that Titanic matchup, even if they get by Illinois, still going to have to go up against UConn. We'll see how they do. But this is Iowa State basketball.
Yeah.
If you tell them every game is going to be played at this tempo, a 67-56 final, they'll certainly take it there. And you're right, 27-27 at the break. Seems like, oh, it wasn't too bad here. They were lucky to get that. That game looked like it was going to be 20-19 at the break. But a decent second half, obviously, by Iowa State, 40-29 prevails by 11 points. We'll take that. That's their style.
Illinois rolls into the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2005, ending the Cinderella run in the career of Keith Dambrot and Duquesne. 89-63, the victory for the Illini. Illinois covers as a double-digit favorite. The Illini see the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2005. We'll look at the Sweet 16 later on. More of the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, rounding out our opening hour on this Monday, recapping all the action that we saw from the round of 32 in the 2024 men's NCAA tournament. And then into our second hour, we will set the stage for the Sweet 16 and beyond. Two very dominant performances yesterday, DRS, by two number one seeds. First in the Midwest region, a 39-point win for Purdue. 106-67 over Utah State. Probably the Boilermakers' best performance in the big dance in the last 5 years. It was the fifth largest margin of victory in the round of 32 we have ever seen in the NCAA tournament, and Purdue never looked back. They were actually down about 8 minutes into the game, 15-14, but then chaos set in for the Aggies, and Purdue took control from there. The Boilermakers easily cover as an 11.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Utah State dropped a couple early three-point shots to take that lead. Thought might it get a little bit interesting, and it didn't, because what you do with Purdue is force your other teams to play Zach Edey down on the low block. They weren't able to do that, and Edey was very good on defense, and quite frankly, they won by such an easy margin. Look at Edey's final statistics here, Ben. 23 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks. He plays that entire game. If they need him, he probably has 35, 20, and 6 at that point. He was that good in that game, but there was no reason to bring him back. What, roughly 12 minutes to go in the second half. This game was an absolute wrap at that point here. That's as good as I've seen Purdue play this season. Quite frankly, as I joked in the past couple decades, when I've been this excited about a Purdue team after a victory in the round of 32, we'll see if that can propel them forward in the Sweet 16. But we expected Ben and Donnie for Purdue to be in the Sweet 16, and here they are.
We did. And here they certainly are in the Midwest region. They get Gonzaga in that 1-5 matchup in the Sweet 16. Connecticut continues to do what Connecticut has done in the last two NCAA tournaments. Now, a perfect 8-0, of course, the national champs a season ago. They have won all 8 of their games by at least 13 points, 75-58 yesterday against Northwestern. UConn covered as a 13.5-point favorite. Hour number 2 starts on the early line in less than a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.